pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, Take No Prisoners with Vito Esposito. I'm Vito. Yes, I have a special show tonight. Our call-in number every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706, and I don't know why I'm speaking with an English accent like Cary Grant. What a day. What a week. I took last week off, kind of rejuvenate the batteries, had some family commitments, and kept up with the news. And then over the weekend, as I was preparing for yesterday's Mamma Mia show with Big Al, there were so many things that were going on, and there have been so much anti-Trump shenanigans by the Washington, D.C. cabal. I like to call them the Washington, D.C. syndicate. You know, being of Sicilian heritage background, blood, I'm an American. I was born in America. My parents were born in America. My father is a World War II vet, Purple Heart recipient, as his brothers were veterans of World War II. Very proud of my parents and my father and the fact that he enlisted in the military in 1940s when obviously information was at its minimal, and they knew that it wasn't right, and that America had been attacked on December 7th, 1941. And that patriotism lasted for many years. Fast forward now to 2000s, and the patriotism resumed. It was felt, that pride was felt once again on September 12th, 2001, after America was attacked by 19 Muslim men funded by Saudi Arabia. 3,000 people perished on September 11th, billions of dollars of property damage. The U.S. Pentagon was attacked. The Twin Towers were downed, a symbol of freedom and free enterprise in New York City. And it just so happened at the time, one of the New York City's most prominent men, aside from Mayor Rudy Giuliani, was businessman, business mogul Donald J. Trump. That was his home. You attacked his home. You attacked his homeland. You attacked where he resides. You attacked America's financial district, the world's financial district. And the euphoria that was felt by Americans was short-lived. And I say short-lived. Yes, we made it a mission to get the architect of 9/11, Osama bin Laden. But we seem to have forgotten that the financiers of 9/11 were the Saudi Arabians. And now, some 12 years later, 13 years, well, coming on 13 years, America is once again reliant upon OPEC and our enemies for oil, for foreign sources of oil. Why? Because of the intentional tanking of the U.S. economy. Why? The chaos that has been plundered, that America has been plunged into. The world is in chaos. And we can thank the feckless leadership, the weak leadership, which is all by design. And that should have been today's title of the show. However, I chose subversion and miscarriage of justice because today is about President Trump. And frankly, like many of you out there, and I think like the majority of Americans, we're sick at what we are seeing. So I was putting together the show last night, and I got to thinking, you know, back in 2016 presidential primary, I didn't vote for Donald J. Trump. I voted for Governor Scott Walker. And why? Because I felt as though America needed someone with a governor's experience, such as Governor Scott Walker. But in the general election, when Donald Trump won the Republican nomination, it was a no-brainer. It was either Donald J. Trump, a business mogul, a capitalist, a man of free enterprise, or Hillary Rotten Clinton. And we know what Hillary Rotten Clinton's track record was. She's a thief. She's dishonest. She came off of the botching of Benghazi. She lied about it. She lied to Pat Smith, Sean Smith's mother. She lied to the families of the four fallen in Benghazi, including Ambassador Christopher Stevens, who I believe was collateral damage. And Obama and Hillary Clinton knew exactly what they were doing because they were involved in a gun-running scheme, reacquiring weapons in the Benghazi compound, and the warehouses full of weapons had been emptied within 2 days. It's in Hillary Rotten Clinton's DNA to lie. Out of the box, President Trump met resistance by the deep state, including Speaker of the House, then Speaker Paul Ryan. President Trump wanted to reduce the corporate tax rate from 39%, which was the highest in the West. And he was successful in getting it knocked down to 21%, although he did want 15%. But again, the deep state offered up resistance. But in getting the corporate tax rate down to 21%, President Trump knew that it would spur economic growth. And of course, coming off of the Obama-Biden disaster, the anti-American Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, and as a matter of fact, the anti-constitutionalist Barack Hussein Satoru Obama and Joe Biden, it was a no-brainer to reduce the corporate tax rate down in order to spur economic growth. And what really impressed me and changed my mind immediately about Donald J. Trump was when President Trump attended the World Economic Forum, the first president to do so, and he addressed approximately 15, 12 corporate leaders from around the world, CEOs, owners, large business executives sitting around a round table. And President Trump knew about 99% of what the business leaders' businesses were. They introduced themselves to President Trump, and without exception, each and every one of the individuals praised President Trump for his leadership in leading the charge to lower the corporate tax rate from 39%, the highest in the West, down to 21%. And each and every business leader from around the world at that point looked at President Trump and said, "Mr. President, we are committing X amount of billions of dollars to America in investing in building manufacturing plants, hiring. We're going to invest $15 billion over 5 years. We're going to invest $5 billion. We're going to create manufacturing jobs. We're going to move some plants from Mexico," without exception, each and every one of them. And I'm going back, okay? And I'm sorry, but this has to be rehashed because we keep asking questions. How is this happening? How is President Trump getting railroaded like this? And then we all hear these pundits. But let's go back, okay, to this beginning where President Trump didn't display any type of mental deficiencies as Nancy Pelosi and the Washington, D.C. syndicate tried to spin. Here's a man who spent his entire life creating businesses, building businesses, taking risks. And like many business leaders, sometimes those businesses fail. There is not one businessman or woman who's not experienced some sort of failure along the way. You can either sulk or kick yourself in the ass and move forward. You cut your losses. And the problem is with the common man, we don't know when to cut our losses. And sometimes it takes that bold decision to cut your losses and move on. And America has never been blessed to have an individual such as Donald J. Trump, a successful businessman, run for and win and be chief executive of the United States of America, president of the United States. So that meeting back in 2017 that President Trump had in Davos, Switzerland, was extremely successful. Now, where things start going south, when you look back 2017, we should have seen what was to happen from 2017 to today as a sign. Because 1 week later, the anti-American George Soros was in Davos, Switzerland, addressing the same economic forum. Maybe not the same individuals, because corporate leaders have to go back to business. And I'm sure they were mostly politicians. They were surely, you know, scumbags like John Kerry and other sycophants of George Soros. I won't name names, but who were in attendance. George Soros stated, now, keep in mind, it was Donald Trump who had a successful meeting at the World Economic Forum and praised by business leaders, corporate executives, owners of large companies who were committing billions of dollars in investment into the United States, because government doesn't invest. It is businesses that invest. Businesses pay taxes. George Soros stated they must do everything to stop Donald Trump. That was George Soros' words. Why? Why would you want to stop Donald Trump? He was just praised by no less than 12 chief executive officers, business owners, who wanted to invest in the United States as a result of the lowering of tax rates. Because it turns out that Donald Trump was a threat to, in upending, the globalization of the West. It was because Donald Trump was a threat to stopping a globalization of the United States of America and to continue forward with a constitutional republic and not a democracy. Because a democracy generates into a dictatorship. Soros' threatening words should have been the awakening to what the cabal was about to unleash in 2017 and what we're seeing today. The miscarriage of justice against Donald J. Trump, against President Trump. So in preparing for yesterday's show, so many thoughts and topics arose concerning President Trump, the miscarriage of justice and the abuse of power by the United States Justice Department. And yet another new distraction in America. America is in chaos under the Biden-Obama alumni regime on college campuses, Ivy League colleges around the United States. Chaos, utter chaos. Distraction. Yet another distraction. But in this chaos, the Jewish people haven't felt threats like this since 1936 Germany. The world is in chaos, and with the Biden-Obama alumni regime destroying everything in their path, they're engaged in a distraction of Americans, distracting away from a poor economy, a poor U.S. economy, distracting from a pathetic energy policy in the United States. And they're distracting from the abuse of power and seeking to destroy President Trump and the Trump empire. You know, Joe Biden's poll numbers have been dropping dramatically. And it's another reason for the distraction, because with the upcoming election in 197 days, Joe Biden doesn't have the mental acuity, the mental stamina to withstand a grueling election. I mean, the malleable moron was in Philadelphia yesterday, and Biden mentioned that, here's 4 seconds. This is what the malleable moron had to say at a campaign stop in Philadelphia.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Yeah. That's why the majority of Americans will be voting for President Trump, because we believe in freedom. We believe in individual liberties and not the democracy that you, Joe Biden, and you, Barack Hussein Sator Obama, and your anti-American Obama alumni regime are shoving down the America's throats, and you're trying to dismantle our constitutional republic. The pro-Hamas protests in America are exactly what the left wing needs to distract America away from the Department of Justice abuse of power and the miscarriage of justice against President Trump. The intentional distractions by the current Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime have been a well-executed campaign in the subversion of U.S. law. Make no bones about this regime. It includes the Obama alumni, which means that Barack Hussein Sator Obama, and as I received a message from Holzer, could also mean Eric Holder, former attorney general, are deeply involved in this shadow government. Forget about conspiracy theories. When you look down the list of individuals who occupy the executive branch of government, who surround the malleable moron Joe Biden, Ron Klain, okay, he's no longer the chief of staff. Well, who knows, right? Ricchetti, Anita Dunn, Fuentes, Barack Hussein Sator Obama, Hillary Rodham Clinton's name came up. She has a direct line thanks to Neera Tanden, Tyler Robinson, Arthur Pulis, Isabel Guzman, Valerie Biden, to name a few. Not to mention Samantha Power at USAID, who is aiding and abetting illegal aliens to invade the United States of America down in the Darien Gap. There's no way, shape, or form that Joe Biden is well enough, competent enough, to be executing this anti-constitutional subversion on his own. And that's why he needs the Obama alumni, because they do not believe in America's constitutional republic. It's a reason why these individuals continue to refer to America as a democracy. Definition of subversion. The state of being subverted, especially a systematic attempt to overthrow or undermine a government or political system by persons working secretly from within. A cause of overthrow or destruction. To overthrow or undermine a government or political system. We're seeing the destruction now. We're seeing the undermining of our government. You've got the executive branch of government undermining the judicial branch of government. The judicial branch knocks down student loans, because any type of spending like that has to emanate from where? The United States House of Representatives. But hey, Joe Biden, the Obama alumni regime, don't really care about the U.S. Constitution, nor the rule of law, nor the process of power. So they unilaterally decide and illegally decide, unconstitutionally decide, to engage in student loan forgiveness plan to the tune of tens of billions of dollars, somewhere in the vicinity of hundreds of billions of taxpayer money. Taxpayer money we don't have. Here's 50 seconds, okay, of former FBI agent Dan Smoots. He clearly explains what's the difference between a constitutional republic and a democracy.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
The totalitarians have obscured the real meaning. The undermining of America's constitutional republic system is exactly what Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and the Obama alumni machine are doing inside the Biden-Harris regime. Now think about the campaign to deceive the American people that has been waged since 2015 when Donald J. Trump and Melania Trump made their way down the escalator at Trump Tower to announce his candidacy for President of the United States. Well, Vito, why are you going back and rehashing almost 9 years? Well, it's simple. You know, the campaign to derail Donald J. Trump started when he was candidate Trump. The Washington, D.C. syndicate knew Donald J. Trump would be a threat, upsetting their greedy apple cart. Now, keep in mind, now I know this is going to be difficult for some people to believe, okay, because conservatives are not stupid. It's those that have that left-wing mindset. Keep in mind that we understand that Donald J. Trump is not a Boy Scout, nor is President Trump Jesus Christ. And Trump supporters, and this is going to be shocking to the left wing out there, Trump supporters do not see him as our Lord and Savior. We know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Although a billionaire, Trump supporters know that President Trump is patriotic. He's passionate, and in some ways he's practical, who believes in the American people. Donald Trump believes in American ingenuity, which is a threat to the globalization of America. Donald Trump believes in the United States of America. Donald Trump believes in small business, the free enterprise system, and capitalism. And those are antithetical to the belief system of the left wing in America, the Democrat Party, the Uniparty in America. Because they don't believe in individual freedoms and liberties. And if you have any doubt about that, just go back and Google Senator Pocahontas Warren out of Massachusetts, who stated to a business owner, "You didn't build that." That's the mentality of academia. A Harvard professor, who is now a United States senator, has the audacity, who's lived their entire life out of a book, nothing practical, "You didn't build that." Really, tell the people in Ohio when the manufacturing plant shut down and 500 people lost their jobs, how the town was decimated and people moved out to find work. You didn't build that? That tax base is gone. You see, this is the Marxist mentality. You didn't build that because government's the only one that can build that. That's horseshit. Okay? If it wasn't for business, and if it wasn't for the tax base that businesses create, you wouldn't have the communities, you wouldn't have the services, utilities that some communities enjoy, that most communities enjoy. You know, President Trump has lived the American dream. And don't forget, as businessman and business magnate Trump, many of the political whores in Washington, D.C., some of which are still in office, looked to Trump for financial support while they were campaigning because they wanted to hold on to their political seats, irrespective of party affiliation, including Chuck Schumer. That schmuck had no problem sticking his hand out to businessman Trump for campaign donations so he can suck off the public teat. And now he besmirches President Trump. As business magnate Trump, organizations such as the NAACP lauded Trump for his philanthropy, his support of the African-American community, Black America. And we've all seen the photos of then-businessman Trump with Black American icons such as Rosa Parks and draft dodger Cassius Clay, later known as Muhammad Ali. And it was okay for the NAACP to give then-businessman Trump accolades and awards because of his support for Black America. Because Trump didn't know any color. Businessman Trump didn't know color. But because President Trump runs as a Republican and is now in the Republican Party, the destructive Democrat Party machine must create false narratives. They must send out their disinformation and misinformation. And of course, the darling of disinformation for the Democrat Party, for the destructive Democrat Party, is to label people a racist, people that they oppose, their political opponents. You're a racist. You're a hater. You know, it's like the Muslim Brotherhood. If you speak about Islam, you're an Islamophobic. And, of course, there's been lies and misinformation and disinformation, including from Nancy Pelosi about President Trump. Now, here's a clip which also got my ire and probably the inspiration for the show. And I'll tell you really quick. I decided this morning to just open up the Bible. Overly religious. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I go to church. But I open up the book. I just open up the Bible. Page 552, Psalm 31. First thing I look at. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. My rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. And I said, I'm going to do the show. And after hearing Hillary Rotten Clinton appearing on the Mark Elias show this past Friday, April 19th, I was absolutely disgusted. You know, we have been suppressed. Conservatives have been suppressed. We have been told by the so-called mainstream DNC media how to think, what to think about, how Donald Trump treats Americans, how Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. And we're told by the DNC media, you know, what we're supposed to arrive at for conclusion about Donald Trump. Hillary Rodham Clinton ran in 2016. Against Donald Trump. She cheated in the Democrat primary, presidential primary. She cheated. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, her DNC party chair, had to resign abruptly on the opening day of the DNC convention because they were caught cheating. And to show how much of a team player, how much of a deep state player Bernie Sanders is, he cast a deciding vote to give the cheater, Hillary Rotten Clinton, nomination for their party's presidential candidate, the Democrat Party. And to this day, the election denier Hillary Rodham Clinton still holds on to Putin as being the reason that she lost the 2016 election. And she is now resurrecting the narrative. Of course, it's 2024, it's election year, so the destructive Democrat Party, the Uniparty, has to pull out all the stops and with their disinformation and misinformation propaganda campaign. So here is Hillary Rotten Clinton, a quick segment, making a bold claim against President Trump on this past Friday, April 19th, show with Mark Elias. You want to talk about somebody who's an election denier? Someone with a pair of balls, more balls than most of the destructive Democrat Party men? Hillary Rotten Clinton has a pair.
Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin because Putin does what he would like to do, kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive, you know, journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants. And so we have to be very conscious of how he sees the world, because in that world, he only sees strongman leaders.
I mean, what an absolute lie. That is a flat out lie. I mean, Hillary Rotten Clinton has no shame for lying. She is the propaganda princess of disinformation and misinformation. Folks, that is a flat-out lie. She, Hillary Rotten Clinton, was involved in creating the phony, the false Russian narrative under the Steele dossier, which was now we know was financed by MI5, was launched by the Obama-Biden regime, and it was funded by the Hillary Rotten Clinton campaign. I looked up under German. They call it Why Bitch Clinton. Oh, it's Weiblick. I'm sorry. Air liar Weiblick Clinton has the audacity to continue the phony thread of Putin. Hillary Clinton is responsible for the false narrative against Donald Trump in 2016 of being a Russian bot and of being bought and paid for by Putin and Russia. And to this day, April 19th, Hillary Rotten Clinton is an election denier 8 years later with no consequences for denying she lost an election because she tried to fix it and she lost. Her presidential campaign in 2016 financed the Steele dossier along with MI6, Christopher Steele, and they created the Steele dossier. Supposed to send Trump packing. And Hillary Rotten Clinton was supposed to trounce Donald Trump for president of the United States. But the arrogant bitch got caught. And remember, once again, it was Hillary Rotten Clinton and then DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz who were caught cheating in the 2016 Democrat presidential primary. Now, we all know that cheating is in Hillary Rotten Clinton's DNA. You just ask Vince Foster. I'm sorry, he's dead. Oh. Wait a minute, he was Clintonized. Huh. You can ask Webb Hubble. I mean, look at Chelsea Hubble. The amount of lying and cheating Hillary Rotten Clinton did while in the U.S. government, 30,000 emails destroyed, bleaching hard drives, Benghazi, her secret server in her basement or a bathroom, classified documents on perverts' laptops, Anthony Weiner. I mean, there is no end power with these political whores. There were two attacks undertaken by the Democrat Party in 2016. One was Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, the Biden regime, spying on a private citizen and then presidential candidate for a major political party. Obama used the Foreign Intelligence Service Act, FISA, to spy on President Trump. I'm sorry, to spy on citizen Trump, to spy on candidate Trump, to spy on president-elect Trump. How is that possible? November 8th to January 19th, power at that point. It would have been the incumbent president, would have been Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. And it was allowed by U.S. intelligence officers to bypass the warrant process. And who would have been those U.S. intelligence officers in 2015 and 16 who allowed the spying on citizen Trump, on candidate Trump, on president-elect Trump? How about the director of the CIA, John Brennan? How about the director of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson? How about the National Security Advisor, Susan Converted Rice? And the kicker is the director of the National Intelligence was James Clapper. Now, these are names of the deep state who are in bed with Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Hillary Rotten Clinton to undermine, subvert Donald J. Trump's candidacy, followed by his presidency. Susan Rice, John Brenner, James Clapper, along with Hillary Rotten Clinton and Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, they set the stage for disinformation and misinformation. And I see that Hank Jones is on the line, and I'm going to put Hank on. Good evening, Hank. How you doing, bud?
Great, Vito. Mamma mia.
Mamma mia. Yeah.
See, we better hurry, though, so we don't get cut off, seeing as somehow I've been getting, preempted, should we say, the last few weeks?
Yeah, you've been Obama-ized, man. You want to talk about the subversion of your show? Holy crap, it seems like when you talk about Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, three out of the last 5 weeks your show has been, BTR goes out on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's amazing. The timing certainly is suspect, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of, you know, and you said it to me at first. I was kind of like, man, I don't really believe that. I don't know that would really happen. But then talking to Brother Tommy, and he said, well, you know, there's one thing you say every week. And I was thinking, I don't know, Vito mentioned this too. And you said, there's one thing you say every week. And I'm like, I don't get it. What am I? And you said, my announcement about Barack Obama and the paddleboard. And I'm thinking, okay, so is this guy really that? I mean, come on, would they really want to not? But we've talked about it. Who has more ego? Who has more, he's not regretful about things like, throwing a baseball like a girl, if you remember. He's not upset about, the misdeeds of his administration ever. What his biggest regret? Getting caught. So maybe when you and Brother Tommy were saying, hey, maybe you're getting knocked out of here because of your statement about Barack Obama every week. I'm thinking, no, that can't be possible. Maybe I'm starting to believe. You guys got me believing I might be getting ready to get outfitted for a set of tinfoil ears to go over, you know.
You know, there's nothing that you can do today that you can't that you cannot put on the table and discuss. Because what used to be this conspiracy theory, we learn now about the deep state. We learned about the Uniparty. We're learning about the Uniparty and who's involved in it. And you know, at the end of the show, I'm going to take the last 5 minutes and I'm going to read a tweet that was put out by Tone Man Lives. This man writes some great stuff every week. He has some great rants, you know, about Donald Trump and how the abuse of power and the subversion. And today's post was absolutely beautiful, especially for this show. So I'm going to read it at the end of the show because I think it's a positive way to end the show. And, you know, I'm just – Hank, what we're witnessing today, I'm sorry, but you cannot have this much chaos ensue in 1,200 days. It just doesn't happen. You know, the left wing, the deep state, created a chaos during President Trump's presidency. But aside from the chaos, which was actually geared towards him, President Trump, outside of Washington, D.C., had things running. He had a staff, a team, who was running things. We had the lowest energy prices, and we had plentiful energy, which we weren't reliant upon our enemies or for foreign sources of oil, which included our enemies, okay. Venezuela, Russia, Iran, and, of course, OPEC. Well, OPEC's an ally. Oh, okay. Saudi Arabia attacked us on 9/11/2001, but they're still an ally, okay? We understand how Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia, which most Muslims will do that. But we had a Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is our national security center for energy, it was at capacity, 714-plus million barrels of oil. Today, that capacity is under 350 million barrels, thanks to Barack Hussein, Totoro Obama's alumni regime, and Joe Biden, and their global hoax scheme, draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. So, you know what? There are no more conspiracy theories anymore. What we're seeing today happening in America, it didn't happen when Donald Trump was in office. It was manufactured outrage, but it wasn't all this chaos. Sorry, go ahead.
You mentioned something one time about, how they get away with it. I mean, we're talking about Bob Menendez as an example, who's going to skate, and he's actually turned on his wife a little bit, I guess. And you're thinking, okay, so how does this happen? And you said it one time, Republicans eat their young. The Democrats circle the wagons. Republicans eat their young. By the way, I don't know protocol on this one. Should we be observing a moment of silence for Uncle Bosey on that, for the eat their young comment? Can you fill me in? What's the proper protocol?
Maybe we should have a moment of silence for Uncle Bosey. I mean, can we have it? I would think it would just be another made up. No, it couldn't be another fictitious statement by the liar in chief. I mean, could it have been?
Well, let me see if I got. Let me see if I can quote this statement properly. First of all, my grandfather called him Uncle Bosey. Airplanes. Was that? Did I get that right? Was that pretty much correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. How? I mean, how did he even come up with that, number one? But number two, look at that, and it's pretty obvious that it's, as you say, it's the Obama alumni regime. Joseph Biden clearly isn't capable of, I mean, he's never been smart. People try to say that, he's a smart man. He's never been smart. He's never been regarded as being smart. He's always been considered a lovable doofus, at least by the left, but he's never been considered smart, but now we're expected to believe that he's engineered all this himself. Hell no. Absolutely not.
No. He's the perfect useful idiot that Barack Hussein, Totoro Obama needed, and it's the perfect tool to combat, President Trump, to put up against President Trump in 2020, because Joe is a malleable moron. He can be molded and shaped, and the one thing that Biden's ego wanted was he needed to be president of the United States for his ego, but he knew he couldn't attain it on his own, and it was proven.
No, definitely
not. He was rejected twice, summarily rejected. Matter of fact, he was rejected in, what was it, 1988, or was it 92? 88, and for lying.
88, he was
lying. He's a plagiarizer.
Correct.
So, Joe Biden knew that he couldn't do this on his own.
Correct. He could not. There was no way he could do it on his own. And I think we're seeing that now, that there would have been no way he could do it on his own. I mean, and the whether Obama's running things from behind the scenes, I think that's pretty clear now. I mean, again, the ego, who but him would have that kind of ego? And who but somebody like a George Soros, who, let's face facts, George Soros is, the money behind it and all that stuff. Who but a George Soros or a Barack Obama doesn't want their will thwarted? They can't stand not to be in control. They can't stand not to have their way. I mean, I think we're seeing all of it, but, even now, some of us, me included, like I said, up until, a few weeks ago, if you'd have said, oh, come on, Hank, you see the writing, they're trying to, drum all conservatives off. I would say, oh, they don't really care that much about it. Yeah, they do. They as you and Brother Tommy both say, Obama's an egomaniacal freak. That whole, when I joked about the Cindy Brady, he wasn't embarrassed about the pitch, as an example. That kind of stuff didn't embarrass him until people called him out on it, He probably actually thought, this is what a narcissistic, borderline psychotic human being is. He probably walked off of the mound that night thinking he did a great job because he just didn't know. He's just an idiot. He's so supremely egotistical, it wouldn't occur to him that he sucks at something, you know, and he does, by the way. He did. That was the worst throw we've ever seen. I mean, if you're going out to throw out the first pitch, don't you make a little bit of an effort? You know, but he didn't. I mean, you can sit there and say, oh, he's not a baseball. No, he made no effort. Because you know why? He just thinks he's above it all. He thinks he's better than everyone else. He thinks he's entitled. And, you know, I mean, I know you're saying, Hank, it's just a baseball pitch. Jesus Christ, give it a rest. But it's, you know, when you measure it all up, when you total up the sum, what you really have is a man who is dangerous, who is supremely egotistical, who is supremely self-entitled, who just thinks he's above it all. In the end, that's what he really boils down to. He thinks he's above. He thinks he's not accountable for anything. It's the same way Hillary Clinton doesn't think she's accountable. Why should she be accountable? By God, she's Hillary Clinton. She's entitled. She was the heir apparent, and she's still rankled over that. You know, I mean, Donald Trump, believe it or not, Donald Trump's moved on from that a long time ago, from 2020. People say he hasn't. He's moved on from it a long time ago. If he hadn't, he'd be campaigning differently. He'd be campaigning the same way that he did in 2020 and in 2016. He's not. They don't get it. They don't, you know, I mean, I think some people do. But, you know, the average person doesn't get it. You know, President Trump, that's why he scares them. They know he can adapt. They know he can, you know, that he can rework things on the fly, and that scares the crap out of them.
Yeah, they're scared of Trump because Trump will upset their financial apple cart. I'm going to put you hold for 1 second because there's a lot of crackling background noise. The powers to be inside of Washington, D.C., believe that Donald Trump is a threat to their existence. They believe that Trump is a threat to their new world order, their green expansion. And Trump has stated that they will drill, baby, drill, and it's not on the agenda for the globalists. They want America subservient to the world, and Donald Trump is a threat to that. And suddenly, with the miscarriage of justice that's being brought down by the Biden and Obama alumni Justice Department, they have upended the rule of law. The rule of law doesn't apply to Donald J. Trump. The First Amendment of free speech does not apply to Donald J. Trump. Now, Letitia Soros James can go on, get in front of the microphone every day during a trial, and she can spew her disinformation and misinformation and her bias against President Trump, and that's protected under free speech. Yet President Trump can talk about how the miscarriage of justice has wrongly accused him of falsifying records. President Trump can talk about the Deutsche Bank executives who validate the fact that President Trump paid his debt, did not default, did not harm anyone. And as a matter of fact, Deutsche Bank executives stated that they considered Donald Trump and the Trump Organization whales and want to do even more business with them. But President Trump can't say that, and there has to be a gag order placed on him. Now, he's already been tried once for, and this is the miscarriage of justice part because it just never ends. The Stormy Daniels thing is supposed to be gone. And suddenly, under double jeopardy, which is not supposed to exist in law in the United States, President Trump can be charged once again for falsifying records when Alvin Soros Bragg has brought these charges against him. And then you have a Democrat Party judge. But let's not lose sight of one thing. This entire movement has been funded and started by the Department of Justice under Biden and the Obama alumni. And Holder actually sent out a tweet or sent me a copy of a tweet. A lot of people feel that Obama runs this current White House. If so, then does it make sense that Eric Holder runs the DOJ? And Holder's absolutely right. Holder's absolutely right. Because the DOJ and Eric Holder is nothing if it isn't for Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. You know, Holder knows the ins and outs. Obviously, they know about Merrick Garland because he is one of the chimpanzees for Barack Hussein Satoru Obama and the Obama alumni in bringing down Donald Trump. And so the effort is widespread, you know, amongst the anti-Americans, the anti-constitutionalists in the Obama alumni regime, including Barack Hussein Satoru Obama and Joe Biden. So, you know, I do believe that Eric Holder is involved. I do believe that there are individuals inside who report directly to Hillary Rodham Clinton, and the name Noreen Tanden comes up as being the confirmed who talks daily to Hillary Rodham Clinton. And so what we have is we have a threat to our constitutional republic, and it's Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, it's Hillary Rodham Clinton, it's George Soros, and Joe Biden. With little mental acuity left, Joe Biden is still a threat, as is Susan Rice, as is John Brennan, as in Clapper. You know, all these individuals are seeking to undermine our constitutional republic. And look how they have carried out their miscarriage of justice against Donald J. Trump. And they even use the FISA warrants.
Oh, yeah.
To subvert the rule of law. It's unbelievable what we're witnessing today.
Yeah, I mean, how, you know, that's one. Will they ever? I mean, I guess it boils down to, at a certain point, if they just keep doing all this, you know, like, you know, the one thing was that, well, they're just going to wear Trump down. They're going to keep it up till they wear Trump down. I think, conversely, on the other side of it, if we just keep committing all this stuff, but excusing ourselves, getting off, not being charged, they just won't know which way to charge us. They won't know how. They won't know what to go after us for. I mean, I wouldn't think that they would be like that, but now think about it. It makes perfect sense. Well, you know, when you're in power, what are you going to come after us for? We've only done about a million things. Pick your poison, you know? I mean, we're thinking that's just a laughing matter, but to them, that's perfect. It makes perfect sense.
I don't know if I still have this. Okay. So you have to look at history. And I think what people don't get is the history behind Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. And the history being, it was Barack Hussein Satoru Obama who used his Internal Revenue Service to break the Tea Party. Now, I'm going to play a portion of this. This was a rant by Rick Santelli on the Chicago Board of Trade floor. Every morning, CNBC Squawk Box brings in Rick Santelli, and he gives a report on commodities and the economy. And this one morning, and I do remember because I was watching that morning, I watched Squawk Box every morning at that point. And Rick Santelli absolutely floored each and every person on the every host, okay? And then, of course, this whole thing goes viral back in 2010, I believe it was, 2009. And it was the creation of the Tea Party was born out of this rant because it was truly organic. Now, I'm going to put you on hold, and here's a little bit of Rick Santelli, and I'm playing it because I want people to understand the power behind Barack Hussein Satoru Obama and his ability to utilize government agencies to stop political opponents.
Also, we want to get to our task force right now. Rick Santelli and Jason Roney of Sharma Capital are standing by at the CME Group in Chicago. And Rick, have you been listening to this conversation?
Listening to it? I've been just glued to it because Mr. Ross has nailed it. You know, the government is promoting bad behavior because we certainly don't want to put stimulus forth and give people a whopping $8 or $10 in their check and think that they ought to save it. And in terms of modifications, I'll tell you what, I have an idea. You know, the new administration's big on computers and technology. How about this, President and new administration? Why don't you put up a website to have people vote on the internet as a referendum to see if we really want to subsidize the losers' mortgages, or would we like to at least buy cars and buy houses in foreclosure and give them to people that might have a chance to actually prosper down the road and reward people that could carry the water instead of drink the water.
Hey, Rick,
that's a novel idea.
Hey, Rick, did you...
What? Who
They're like putty in your hands. Did you hear?
No, they're not, Joe. They're not like putty in our hands. This is America. How many of you people want to pay for your neighbor's mortgage that has an extra bathroom and can't pay their bills? Raise their hand. How about we all... President Obama, are you listening?
How about we all stop paying our mortgage? It's a moral hazard.
This is like mob rule here. I'm getting scared. I'm glad I'm
Don't get scared, Joe. They're already scaring you. You know, Cuba used to have mansions and a relatively decent economy. They moved from the individual to the collective. Now they're driving 54 Chevys, maybe the last great car to come out of Detroit.
They're driving them on water, too, which is a little strange to watch
at times.
Hey, Rick, how about the notion that Wilbur pointed out you can go down to 2% on the mortgage.
You can go down to minus 2%
and still have 40% not be able to do it. So why are they in the house? Why are we trying to keep them in the house?
I know Mr. Summers is a great economist, but boy, I'd love the answer to that one.
Jason,
we're thinking of having a Chicago Tea Party in July. All you capitalists that want to show up to Lake Michigan, I'm going to start organizing.
What are you dumping in this time? How's it
going? I'm going to be dumping in some derivative securities. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Mayor Daley is marshaling the police right now.
Rabble rouse.
National Guard.
Jason, are you nearby? Can you hear the cheering?
So there is how the Tea Party was born, and it was an impromptu rant by Rick Santelli on the Chicago Board of Trade, and you can hear that his fellow traders in the background were cheering when Rick was talking about the government needs to get out, and also that Cuba also had a thriving economy until the communists took over, and it's exactly what he saw, which was occurring. And what happened? The Tea Party around the Americans around the United States erupted to this, and the Tea Party was born. And you know what? The Obama-Biden regime saw this as a threat, and they sought ways to squash it. And they enlisted, and you all remember the name, Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner was the fall woman at the Internal Revenue Service, and she was not held accountable for her actions. And she, along with Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and I'm sure at his instruction, and the DOJ, okay, which was Eric Holder, sought to break the Tea Party. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't think executive branch of government that's being controlled by Obama right now is able to break their political opponents, we watched it as they did it to the Tea Party. We watched it as Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama went after the journalist, okay? There's this thing under the First Amendment called freedom of the press. The executive branch of government utilized the Internal Revenue Service to go after a journalist by the name of James Rosen and his family because Rosen had the audacity to question Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama and their feckless economic policies. He sicked the IRS on them. Now, if that's not dictatorial, I don't know at what point do you say this that was unconstitutional. If they did it in 2009, 10, and 11 to their political opponents under Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Biden, what makes you think they're not doing it now to their political opponent and they're doing it more overtly against President Donald J. Trump, and they have absolutely abridged President Trump's constitutional rights? Because, you see, despots, dictators do not believe that you and me, political opponents who are designated political opponents, have individual freedoms and liberties and are not entitled to your constitutional right, your freedom of speech, your freedom to peaceably assemble, your freedom to redress the government for grievances.
Yep, you're absolutely right. They don't believe it. It's an ego thing, it's a control thing, and it absolutely galls the living crap out of them. I mean, you know, we see it, we talk about it, and yet somehow we seem powerless to stop it. I don't know, you know, that's part of the thing that, you know, what are we going to do? I've said it a couple times on X, formerly known as Twitter. I really do believe it's going to come down to us having to, you know, us, when I say us, the American people, the people that are not in power, the people that are not making decisions. It's going to come down to us having to use force. May not like it, may think we, you know, do we have the stomach for it? But if we don't, then we're going to get this the rest of our lives. You know, I'd like to say I fear. I don't even fear it. I kind of look forward to it.
Well, I'll tell you what I fear. I fear for President Trump's life. Now, I think that the one, and I'm going to say saving grace, is the one thing that I believe that Obama and his anti-American tribe are astute enough is that there are too many Americans who support President Trump at this point. The only way that they can beat President Trump is at the ballot box. And I'm not talking about in a fair fight. They could just beat him at the ballot box. The only way they're going to stop him is stop him at the ballot box, because if they use other means, other like Clintonize or Putinize, I think that they understand that there is going to be holy hell to pay. And the American people will not stand for it. And they will lose all around. But I do fear for President Trump's life, because he is truly the only individual right now who stands in the way of these despots. He stands in the way of our constitutional republic descending into a dictatorship.
Yeah, he doesn't just stand in their way. He's openly opposing them. He's openly saying no. He's openly telling them this is wrong. This will not fly. And that galls them. You know, I mean, that literally, they don't know what to do. And I, you know, again, I thought when you said that, you fear for President Trump. I was like that. You know, come on, Vito. Remember? And then Boyd came on my show a few weeks ago and said, I think if, you know, however they do it, but he says, but President Trump will not take the oath of office. And I, at the time, I thought, come on, Boyd. You know, put down the crack pipe, dude. I think he's absolutely right. I think if President Trump, should he prevail, and I feel he will, Boyd's right. I don't think he'll take the oath of office. I think something will happen. God forbid.
Well, you know, the deep state, what people also have to look back on is why is this happening? And it's happening for a couple of reasons. One was, of course, the pantsuit princess, Hillary Rodham Clinton, was the heir apparent to Barack Hussein Tatora Obama. And when that didn't happen and President Trump got elected by we the people, the deep state went into action. And we can look at everything and say, oh, you know, this is that and this and, oh, well, that's this factor. No, you have to look at what transpired from the spying on President Trump, spying on candidate Trump, spying on citizen Trump. Because there is a step along the way. And one of those steps occurred in November of 2016 after the presidential election, when President Trump was elected the 45th president of the United States. Nancy Pelosi and her goons went into action. And one of those goons is Jerry Nadler. And Jerry Nadler wrote How We Resist Trump and His Extreme Agenda. It's a six-page manifesto, and it lays out the agenda of the deep state, of those anti-Trumpers back in 2016, and what their objective was and what their objective still is. Now, I'm just going to read from a couple of pages, but I'm going to read you some quick bullet points as Jerry Nadler wrote, Congressman Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi used. And you ask yourself, if you can remember for the 4 years of President Trump's presidency, how he was treated and how this mission has been undertaken by Nancy Pelosi and her henchmen of the Washington, D.C. syndicate. Jerry Nadler writes on page one, so we must do everything we can to stop Trump and his extreme agenda now. This next bullet point is probably the most important and still relevant today. To achieve this, we must keep our eyes on two important goals, depressing Trump's public support and dividing the congressional GOP from him and from each other. Important about this, and Hank, you'll agree with this. You notice the number of Republicans in the House who are resigning due to family reasons, who are not running for re-election? Now, these are individuals. We've not seen this exodus like we've seen before because the deep state, the establishment, needs to have the Democrat Party in control in anticipation of Trump winning the presidency in November. So for whatever reason, dividing the congressional GOP and those weak, spaghetti-spined GOP congressmen are stepping down from their seats. You know, the coward, McCarthy, he had to resign his seat immediately, which reduced yet another vote for the GOP. But depressing Trump's public support. Now, how is the deep state depressing Trump's public support? We're seeing it each and every day. When you just think it's over, now a Stormy Daniels charge reemerges, 34 counts. Jack Smith, special prosecutor, is going to charge President Trump for having classified documents. Now, excuse me, but there's this thing called the Presidential Records Act of 1978, which went into effect in 1981, I believe, or, no, excuse me, 88, which means that George H.W. Bush enjoyed the presidential privilege, which means that Bill Clinton enjoyed presidential privilege, which means that George W. Bush enjoyed presidential privilege, which means that Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama enjoyed presidential privilege, which means that Donald Trump doesn't enjoy presidential privilege of being protected under the Presidential Records Act, okay? Depressing Trump's public support, constantly place in the minds of the people that Trump is corrupt. How do you do that? By you concocting stories. All of a sudden, now, 8 years later, Hillary Rodham Clinton is back talking about Russia, Russia, Russia. Well, if President Trump was a Russian bot, he wouldn't have demanded that drilling start in the United States. And as a result of drilling for oil in the United States, he buried Vladimir Putin and the Russian economy to the point where Russia had 12 months remaining as a result of America being energy independent and not reliant on Russian oil. It also buried OPEC. Because a barrel of oil was under a net $20 a barrel, which is the death for OPEC and Russia. And thanks to Joe Biden's climate hoax agenda and adopting the global green, he reemerged the economies of Russia, which helped invade Ukraine, and it reestablished the Iranian, the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran, and their attacks on Israel and the United States. So, depressing Trump's public support, that was a goal. Page two, most useful, our main job as the minority in the House will be to develop the best arguments possible against a given terrible Trump proposal. Most usefully, if such arguments divide the Republicans. Divide the Republicans. Oh, that was on page one. Divide congressional GOP from Trump and from each other. And they've done that. Also on page two, the first order of business must be to refuse to allow the normalization of Trump. You see, this is why there was a constant barrage against President Trump for his entire presidency. And what it did, it was to give the appearance that Trump was mean, mentally unstable. It was to give the appearance that Trump was not able to handle the job, when in fact he did. Brings back, has remains of 55 U.S. soldiers in the Korean War being returned to the families in the United States. And instead of lauding the man, refused to normalize him. Creates the Abraham Accord to bring peace to the Middle East. Refusal to normalize him, which means he doesn't get the Nobel Peace Prize. And in less than 3 years, Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime managed to plunge the Middle East into chaos. And Israel suffered one of the worst attacks in their history. Page three, Donald Trump doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. Ah, what's happening right now? Letitia Soros James, Alvin Soros Bragg, Jack Soros Smith. All right. Trump doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. Trump says to then attorney Michael Cohen, you don't pay her in cash, you pay her by check. I want a paper trail. And then Stormy Daniels also pens a letter in her own writing that she did not have an affair with President Trump. But that's not good enough for Alvin Soros Bragg. Okay, and that case, and President Trump wins $500,000. Defamation against him. So guess what? Don't give Trump the benefit of the doubt. Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi wrote this. The next paragraph, anti-normalization is the first key step to long-term eroding of Trump support. Let me read it again. Anti-normalization is the first key step to long-term eroding of Trump support. Why are all of these lawsuits being brought against Trump? Why are they taking him off the campaign trail? Why are they, the deep state, why are they tampering with U.S. elections? Because the anti-normalization is the first key step to long-term eroding of Trump's support. The problem is that objective is not being attained by the deep state because the American people are absolutely sick and tired. We, the people, see the corruption that's occurred in Washington, D.C., that's going on each and every day. Joe Biden is an abject failure. Obama alumni economic policies are a failure. Write letters to media editors every time you see an article or broadcast that utilizes normalizing tone and doesn't make note of the extreme nature of Trump, his behavior and rhetoric. You see, that's why the DNC enlisted their media outlets to portray President Trump as being mentally unstable. That's why they didn't want to, they would get him, or they would try to get his ire, and they would say he's not normal. This is all fabricated. And the last thing is, first, you should join and financially support the national advocacy groups working on the issues you care about. Yeah, Antifa, BLM, right? If we could separate congressional Republicans from Trump, we can stop parts of his agenda. That has been the objective. And thank you, Paul Ryan, for absolutely aiding and abetting the Democrat Party and the deep state for doing so. You know, Paul Ryan, people forget about his role as Speaker of the House and how he abandoned President Trump, as did John McCain. But the deep state sticks together, Hank.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. And you know what? I still, to this day, cannot believe the reworking of John. Look, I respect what John McCain went through during his time in the service. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into that whole thing. But the whole, you know, they literally turned him into this, you know, this lion of the Senate at some point. And you know, and then he did that stupid thumbs down thing. I don't think to this day we, you know, people are willing to admit what that did to this country, what that did to the presidency of President Trump. I mean, forget the fact that he's just a scumbag for doing the way he did it, but I mean, he literally made a promise. He made a promise to his constituents that this was what he was going to do. It wasn't a matter of just simply, you know, oh, we didn't have a solution. We didn't have no. That wasn't. That was never on the table. That was not your. That was not your campaign promise. That was not what you told people. What you told people was that we were going to overturn Obamacare, and we were going to make it right. We were going to do this thing so that it was a normal, viable workaround. Not workaround, but a normal, viable working system. You know, we were going to revamp the healthcare system. That's not what he literally just decided, no, it's not worth it to give a victory to President Trump. That was the only way he could think. He couldn't think in terms of what's good for the country. He couldn't think in terms of, you know, what's right for America. No, it was, how can I grandstand? And you know, that's unforgivable.
It is unforgivable. And you know what, Hank? People continue to ask, you know, how could this all be happening? And we have to look at what on the grassroots side of it. This is why it's happening. This has been a planned objective by the Democrat Party, by the Uniparty, by the deep state in Washington, D.C., right inside our own government. They wrote this manifesto, How We Resist Trump. And they are following this agenda. They are following this schematic. And people say, well, you know, how could this happen? Well, here it is, okay? Everything that all the bullet points that I read are exactly what's happening to President Trump right now, and including the fact that his constitutional rights are being abridged by the very legal system that's supposed to be blind. And justice is not blind right now. Justice has its eyes wide open, and it's targeted President Trump and anybody who's associated with President Trump, which means that this regime, the Biden and Obama alumni regime, are going after their political opponents.
Yeah, and here's the thing. This is how bad it's gotten, that nobody listens. Fannie Willis, whatever the hell her name is. I don't really care. And I'm not going to dignify. Yeah, whatever. You know, it's not enough that she, you know, what she did with Nathan Wade. It's now being brought out that she was misusing the funds that she had, misusing the funds in the frigging office. You know, I mean, that she was, of course, she fired a whistleblower. But
yeah,
she used federal grant funds for travel, for computers. I don't even know how we get. I mean, you know my history. I served for a nonprofit foundation in years past. I understand how this stuff works. I understand accountability for these kinds of funds. Only in a corrupt America can this happen. At that point, I mean, this is no longer, you know, like, oh well, she made a couple mistakes. She literally stole.
She did.
She literally stole. And, you know, you think it's, you know, we think, oh, well, you know, it happens. It's just, you know, remember Biden? Well, you remember what Dopey Joe said recently, or what his handlers told him to say recently? Trump's using campaign funds to pay legal fees. Guess what? Guess who else is doing it? Guess who we just found out is using campaign funds to pay legal fees? The friggin' DNC and the Super PAC. Yeah, DNC and Super PAC, I think. It's two of them. Yeah, literally. They're spending his campaign funds, Biden campaign funds, on legal fees.
So, Hank,
literally,
listen, I'm getting ready to – I'm going to do my the ending here, but tomorrow night, what's your topic for tomorrow evening?
Well, I have several, but just remember what I'm going to lead with, and I will lead with every week until you finally tell me that I can't. Barack Obama is either responsible for or is covering up the circumstances of the death of paddle boarder extraordinaire, Safari Campbell. I'm going to keep saying it. I know you're probably thinking, Hank, no, but I'm going to keep saying it. It needs to be said.
Exactly.
That's my first statement. That's my first statement every week. It's my last statement every week. Safari Campbell is dead because either A, Barack Obama wanted him dead, or he at least covered up the circumstances of why it happened. You know, you and I can go into this with you on the, you know, off the phone.
Right.
But that's, you know, I'm talking about the stuff. Yeah, the Biden administration has now changed the definition of what a woman is again for Title IX. Did you hear that one?
Yeah, it did. So tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern time, check out Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Hopefully your posse will be with you too, right?
Absolutely. The ones that want to be, they know who they are. You know,
great.
So, they may be listening. They might be listening tonight. I don't know. I'm not logged in where you are. I'm just calling in. So hopefully some of them are listening. They said they wanted to. I let them know, hey guys, this is important. Vito's going to be talking tonight. So considering maybe tomorrow night I won't be able to.
Well, let's hope that your show will air tomorrow. So Hank, thank you. I'll be listening tomorrow as well. I appreciate you calling in and joining in, okay?
Great. Thanks, Vito. Have a good one.
You too. You be safe out there, and we know that Barack Obama was involved.
And you as well.
Listen, I know we got about 6 minutes left, and I want to get to this because I have a Twitter follower that I follow by the name of Tone Man Lives. And you want to follow a great patriot who, one, is a Paisan, but also tells it like it is and is not afraid to tell it like it is. I encourage you to go on X, formerly known as Twitter, and follow at Tone Man Lives. And he wrote this brilliant oration posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, today. Now, Tone Man's words reminded me of two issues. One, the Jerry Nadler 6-page manifesto titled How We Resist Trump, which I just read from, and has two objectives, one to depress Trump's public support, and the other to divide Trump from the congressional GOP. And Tone Man's oration confirms the existence, in my opinion, of a uniparty, of the uniparty. And the uniparty is the blend of both Democrats and Republicans working together to systematically dismantle our constitutional republic. Barack Hussein Satoru Obama has been working to dismantle our constitutional republic, and his hands are in this regime. Now, here are the brilliant words as written by at Tone Man Lives. From X, formerly known as Twitter. Donald Trump is like the rich husband of a wife who needs to end him permanently by going to a hitman to take him out without leaving their fingerprints linking her to any involvement. That is exactly what the Republican Party is doing here. There are many Republicans aiding the Democrats to do whatever is necessary to take Trump down without leaving any fingerprints leading back to them. There still is the rhino, Liz Cheney, part of the party behind the scenes, aiding the Dems every step of the way to rid Trump forever. None of the bullshit that is being thrown at Donald Trump is happening without Republicans' knowledge. Republicans could have stopped most of the attacks on Trump if they wanted to. The problem, they don't want to. They want him gone just as badly as the commie Dems who are firing all of the shots. Don't buy their bullshit for a minute when they say they are concerned because they haven't done a fucking thing to stop any of it. The bottom line, this is a war of evil versus good, and there are many evil double agents living in the Republican Party. None that is going to do, to, not, sorry, none that is going on today happens without Rhino knowledge. When we say it's time to clean house, we are talking top to, we are talking both parties. Without a full cleanse, this shit will never stop. It is our job to expose the rats and to start leveling the playing field. We need the handful of the good, honest conservatives exposing the evil from within. Once they are exposed, then only, and only then, we can go full tilt with the proper trustworthy adversaries and clean up his, this attempt, attempted coup of the greatest country on the planet. That is when we can finally end the evil and restore civility to the once again proud United States of America. The time is not now, but right now. Done together, folks. Power is unity. After all, we are Americans despite religion or skin color. The only colors we know are the red, white, and blue, and these colors never run. The only war we are concerned with is the war taking place on our America. I promise you, no one is taking our country without a fight. We have God on our side. We have faith. We got this. Now let's start it off by getting Trump back in the rightful place in the White House. My two cents. Tone Man, absolutely brilliant. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your patriotism. And thank you for your continued support of President Donald Trump. Folks, I'm ending with that. And thank you all for joining me today for this special show. Special. I felt it necessary. And I know that we conservatives, we the people, are tired of what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. We're tired of the corruption. We're tired of the two-tier justice system. We're tired of the justice system being weaponized against the great American, President Donald J. Trump. You all be safe out there. Thank you. Alaskan, Flycatch, Snowman, James, Boyd, Sue from New Mexico, and Hank's Posse. Check out Hank Jones tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And thank you, Tone Man Lives. Ciao for now, folks. Frankie's going to take us out. Be safe out there and be aware of your surroundings. Ciao for now.
Regrets, I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that
and may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man, what has he got, if not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my Lord.
Hallelujah.